Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's good to have you all with us. I want to say that after last Sunday's resurrection service, I knew that this message today would be a bit of a difficult one. The Lord had just given me this topic, and I knew that it was going to be a bit of a struggle for me, and I just pray that you would remember me as I deliver this today. And I also pray for anyone listening that the Lord would open hearts and minds to hear the message and prepare hearts and minds to hear the message. Anytime we're talking about God's judgment, it's hard. Mercy is a whole lot easier. But mercy comes after repentance, right? So let's just remember that. Lord, bless this message today with your holy presence. I pray, Lord, that it would be just the word that you would have delivered and go to the hearts that you would have to hear. And bless us in your name. Amen. I'm going to be speaking today out of Ezekiel 22, verses 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. So I've heard the question asked before, and I'm sure you have too. How could a loving God allow bad things to happen to good people or bring destruction upon his own children, the children of Israel? Well, I think in order to answer that question, we need to look at the backstory. We need to go back a few chapters in the book of Ezekiel. And in earlier chapters, we find a very horrifying situation. God had found Israel in her infancy, in God's own words, that he rescued her from certain death as a cast-off infant whose mother had no love and did not care for the baby and threw it away in the field right after birth. God said, I found you, Israel, lying in your own blood, but I loved you when no one else wanted you. God said that Israel's mother had no love for her at all, not even enough to cut the umbilical cord at birth, or wash the debris off of the baby, or bathe her in the salts to soothe and protect the skin, nor even swaddle her. That's a pretty desperate situation. But God said, I loved you, Israel, and therefore I covered you with my skirts. I put coverings over you, and I protected you, and I made covenant with you, and I put my splendor upon you. God said that I held nothing back for your good. I gave you everything. I dressed you in the finest of the fine linens, and you were the envy of all the world. But it wasn't enough. God says in chapter 16 that Israel became self-absorbed. They trusted in their own beauty, and they played the harlot. They desecrated all of the holy things, the beauty, and all of the splendor that God gave them and made them of no value. You sacrificed the children that I gave you and that you dedicated to me to your foreign wooden iron gods. You've slain my babies for your whoredoms with strangers. You desecrated the Sabbaths that I created and gave to you, and you profaned my holy name. You set up your idols in every high place. I covenanted with you as a wife, but you could not be satisfied, and you turned away to strangers instead. God said, you even perverted the whoredom. The stranger is supposed to pay the payment and give the gifts. But you gave away all of the things I gave you for free to the stranger. But God was not only disgusted with Israel, for the prophets had been prophesying out of their own minds, telling the people what they wanted to hear and not what God had said. They gave them visions of peace, peace, prosperity, prosperity. But God said, no, there is no peace because of Israel's whoredoms. God said, woe to these prophets, for I will cut you out of the promise. You have not gone up into the gaps nor made up the hedges for the house of Israel to stand in, to be prepared for the battle in the day of the Lord. And because you gave vain visions and lying divinations, which I did not send to you, there are now breaches and holes in the walls, and my people are exposed. Think about it today. We have a responsibility to tell the honest truth so that the world and the church will be prepared. No vain visions or lies for our own entertainment purposes will do. Therefore, God said he would destroy Israel with a sword and bring sure devastation to them. But thank the Lord for mercy. Ezekiel 14 says that God said, I will save a remnant out of them. Think about it. God said, yes, I am going to wipe them out because I cannot stand their sin and their evil ways and the way they've treated my things and the way they've treated my name, but I will have a remnant. And he says in Ezekiel 14:22, there will be a remnant, and you can watch their lives, and you will know that their ways are true, and you will find comfort in their soul by in your soul by watching them, even in the harsh destruction and the evil that comes, because my covenant will be carried out through them, because I will make an everlasting covenant with them. God said that these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in an evil land with destruction all around them. But because of their righteousness, I saved them out of it. And God said, you will know that I did this not without cause. I was justified in doing this so that my covenant and my name will go forth. God said to Ezekiel, I've had it. I can't take any more of their perversion or their desecration of my name, and therefore I will destroy them. God was remorseful that he had to take this harsh action against people he loved, against a nation that he took out of the dirt and cleaned them up and set them up in rulership. They had everything they wanted, but they scorned him. And he said, I searched for a man to stand in the gap, the breaches in the walls of protection between my anger and my fury against the people, but there was no one. I searched, but I could not find anyone to stand in the gap so that my destruction would be saved from them. Possibly the saddest words God ever spoke, but I found none. Had he found a man, his judgment would have been stayed. He wouldn't have had to bring destruction. He had fought for his own name's sake, that it be no more polluted by the heathen. So in chapter 22, God swore, "As surely as I live, because you've offered your gifts and you've given your children to idols, I will not be inquired by you. Don't come to me for anything now. You've been cut off, and you are free to continue in your perversion, but no longer will you profane my name." I see the condition of the world that we live in today. And in some ways, it looks a lot like the condition Israel was in this day, in Ezekiel's day. Disregard for the holy things of God, including his name. Murder and the sale of babies and children. Perversions of all sorts that we don't even want to name. It breaks God's heart, and he is still looking for men and women to stand in the gap and tell this world, tell our neighbors, tell our families, our co-workers, the truth, and pray that God will save them out of their destruction if they will turn their heart to God. What kind of men and women do you think God is looking for today? I prayed and I asked the Lord, "What do you want, Lord, in the man or the woman who stands in the gap?" And I believe the Lord gave me four things that he's looking for. Decisive men and women, not afraid to make a decision and stand by it. Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There was no arguing, there was no negotiating, there was no wavering. He's the household leader, and he made the decision, and therefore, that was the way it was. Number two, I think God is looking for men and women who desire to know God, who long for him and crave him, crave fellowship and time with him. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, so that he would become even like Christ in his death." 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So far we know that God's looking for decisive men and women, desiring men and women, desiring him and the knowledge of who he is and his plan for our lives. Thirdly, dedicated men and women, dedicated to serve and to worship. It takes strength to be a servant. Someone who's not afraid to roll up their sleeves and get down in the ditches and go to work. John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And Hebrews 12:28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear." You want to know how to serve God? Acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We cannot let a ministry calling be overshadowed by political correctness. God disallowed the prophets the promise because they changed his message. And I want to say something right here before I go on to the last point. When Jim was alive and preaching, he was a very politically minded man. And for a lot of years, this bothered me. Because if he said anything behind the pulpit or in his class teaching, I felt, oh dear, somebody's going to be offended, or he shouldn't say that behind the pulpit. Well, I want you to know something. The last few years of his life, I changed my mind, and I'm still of that mindset today. Preach the truth, no matter who gets offended. God disallowed the prophets of Ezekiel from the promised land, the promise that he gave them, because they changed the message. We cannot afford to change God's message. It must stand as he gave it. And we look at politics and we think, Lord, is there any hope? But there is hope, because God's Spirit will prevail and will control men on this earth. Pray that he will do so, in Jesus' name. And number four, my final point, I believe that God is looking for determined men and women, steadfast, unmovable in their beliefs, unshakable, no matter what comes, no matter what wind blows. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Ephesians 6 and 13, because we cannot do it by ourselves. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We've experienced some things in the last few weeks that we never expected would ever come across the shores of the United States of America. But they're here. We're not meeting because of those things. We're not meeting publicly because of those restrictions put on us by man. We need to be very thoughtful, prayerful, and careful that we preserve these rights, and they are rights to assemble ourselves together to worship our God. Yes, I'm glad to do my part to stop the spread of a virus. I'm glad to obey the government's edicts, but there may come a day that we have to take a stand for what we believe and what we know to be right, and will we be determined enough to do so? I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to be that woman. I want to be that woman who is decisive, that I can make the right decisions, that I desire you, Lord, day and night, that I want to be with you, Lord, that I'm dedicated, that nothing shakes my dedication to God, and that I am determined, and I've made up my mind that I will follow the Lord. I know you want to be that man and woman too. And I ask the Lord to show me, Father, what do I need to change in my life to be that person that you're looking for to stand in the gap? Show me those areas, Lord, that I need to leave alone and let go of and focus on the more expedient things, Lord. As Paul said, maybe all things are lawful, but they're not always expedient. They're not the necessary things. I want the necessary things of God. Father, we just ask today that you would anoint this word and that you would cause our hearts and our minds to be open to your Spirit, Lord, to see those areas in us, God, that can be changed by the Holy Spirit, that can be smoothed out, that can be stopped or shaken, Lord, that we know for sure whom we have believed in, that we know that our dedication is right before you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear, nothing to hold back, and that we have a pure and clean conscience when we go to bed at night. And Lord, just cause us to dwell under your protection, as you offered so beautifully to Israel, but they scorned it. Lord, we stand under the shadow of the Almighty today to become that man and that woman that you're looking for, to be prepared, Lord, that we may stand in the gap for our family, for our friends, our neighbor, our church, whatever it takes, Lord, that we're ready and equipped in the name of Jesus. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next time, thank you for joining us. I hope this word has encouraged you and blessed you.